In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text this Christmas Eve is Luke, the second chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. This will be the sign. This is how the shepherds are going to find a Savior, who is Christ the Lord? By looking for a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a feeding trough? They don't even get a star to follow. And so they had to hurry and make haste into town to search for this baby. Now, I don't know exactly how many people lived in Bethlehem then. I've seen estimates between 300 and 1,000 people. So I don't know how long it took the shepherds to find Jesus with his parents. But if Bethlehem worked anything like Lidgerwood does, it probably wouldn't have taken very long to locate the baby born that same night. Even so, there's no halo. Jesus doesn't glow with radiant light. Mary doesn't have a crown of stars on her head. There's no beaming bright light that shines on the head of Jesus, illuminating the manger, like you see in the movies. And if there had been, Mary probably would have been pretty annoyed that night, not being able to get Jesus back to sleep. In other words, Jesus was an ordinary-looking baby. The only thing that would have been strange at all was that he was lying in a feeding trough at the lower end of the house, rather than in the upper room where the rest of Mary and Joseph's family were. How long it took to locate the baby, however many people the shepherds had to ask, this was the only sign that they were given. A baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a feeding trough. Have you noticed that God likes to give his people physical, visible signs when he's present with them? When God speaks to Moses, he doesn't do so from heaven. He speaks in the midst of a bush that is burning but yet not consumed. When God leads the people Israel in the wilderness, they don't have to guess where he is. He is present in the fiery cloud and pillar by night, going ahead of them. When they want to know where he is, present, to speak to them, to forgive their sins, they don't have to look any further than the tabernacle that they had constructed and they had built. Clearly, God is not confined to those visible physical signs, but God is certainly present in those places where he promises that he will be for Israel. We're used to talking about signs as things that point to other things. They are generally not the things themselves. A sign to a freeway is not the freeway itself. A sign to the church is not the church itself. A sign to a restaurant or a store is not the restaurant or store itself. They tell you where those things are, or they point you in the right direction. But no one goes looking for the sign. Instead, they go looking for the place which the sign points. This is not the case with God's signs. Not the sign for which the angels told the shepherds to look. The baby doesn't point to some other Savior. The baby is the Savior. When God uses physical things, he often is present in or with the things themselves. The angel speaks a word. The shepherds hear it and believe it, and they find God exactly where the angels said that he would be. The Lord Jesus Christ wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And this isn't the last time that Jesus will be a sign for people either. Just a few short verses later, a few days later, Simeon blesses Mary and says that the child Jesus is appointed. The same word as when he is laid in the manger for the fall and rising of many in Israel. and this for a sign that would be spoken against you. And he's not just talked about, he's actually accused and accounted worthy of death, our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he is died, when he again is wrapped in cloth and laid down, this time it's not in a manger, but in a new tomb. See, the baby in a manger is not yet the sign he came to be. His salvation is not only being laid in a manger, but also being laid in a tomb, both of which are very strange places to find the Lord of heaven and earth. Of course, he didn't stay dead any more than he stayed a baby. If you want to find the Savior of all people, you go where God says he's going to be. Why would you go looking for him where he hasn't promised to be? We're just wasting our time. He's not where we think he could be. He's not where we wish he would be. He's not where we feel like he should be. I have good news of great joy for you today. You have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God. And he has given you concrete physical signs to know where to find him. You don't have to go looking for God. He has told you and promised you where he would be. You know he's not in a manger anymore. You know he's not on the cross or in the tomb anymore. He once was laid in those places, but no more. And even if you could go back to Bethlehem, he told the shepherds to seek him there, not you. Even if you could go to the cross, he didn't tell you to seek him there either. But he has not left you without signs. This will be a sign for you. You will find him wrapped up in water. If you have been baptized, you have been clothed with Christ and baptized into his death. You are buried with him in baptism in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, you too might walk in the newness of life. This will be a sign for you. You will find him wrapped up in words. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This will be a sign for you. You will find him wrapped up in bread and wine, lying here at this altar. For this is my body and my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. It might seem as difficult to believe as for the shepherds to believe that God was wrapped up in baby clothes, trying to keep warm while lying in a feeding trough. But it is no less real than all of that. The sign does not point to some other distant promise. The sign itself is where God has promised to be present for you here and now in this world of sin and death. Shepherds in their fields abiding, watching over your flocks by night. God with us is now residing. Yonder shines the infant light. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. This is the glory of the highest heaven brought low to us here and now. Amid of feasts and celebrations, amid lights and trees and decorations, but more, amid the crafts and the assaults of the devil, amid love grown cold, violence, selfish ambition, jealousy, unbelief, amid arrogance and sinful perversion, against conflict and disputing, against anger, hatred, and deceit, amid war and neglect of others, amid sedition and rebellion, amid discord and strife, amid cancer, AIDS, Parkinson's, coronary artery, heart failure, dementia, multiple sclerosis, amid lives that never quite became what we thought they should be, amidst the chaos and carnage of humans never quite managing to bring an end to their promises, to bring them to fruition, amid your evil, bitter, sad, angry thoughts, words, and actions. Jesus comes to you. He comes to sinners this day. He comes to you in the midst of this veil of tears and this valley of sorrows that we call life to remind you once again that God is not angry with you. He has not abandoned you. He is not against you. He is for you. For he did not spare his own son, but he gave up Jesus for us all. And Jesus has not forgotten about you either. He has not forsaken you. He has not left you. He has loved you with an everlasting love. Jesus has been born for you. He has suffered for you. He has bled for you. He has died for you. He has engraved you on the palms of his very hands. He has paid the price for your sin once and for all, once and for all for you. Justice has been served. The guilty, you and I, are declared righteous and innocent, for he has borne your burden. Jesus has done it all, and he has done it all for you. And now, because of Jesus, you owe God nothing. It is finished. God and sinners reconciled. You are reconciled to God. You have the promise of eternal life with your eternal Savior. Do you doubt that still? Do you feel like sometimes that God is far off from you, or he has abandoned you in this world and in this life with all of life's sin and consequences are surrounding you, pressing in on you and pressing down on you? Do you wish you just had a sign here and now tonight of his great love and his great promises for you? This will be a sign for you. As I, a called and ordained servant of Christ, announce the grace of God unto you. In the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This will be a sign for you. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This will be a sign for you. Take and eat. Take and drink. This is my body and this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Here, in church, not out there fishing, not out there hunting, not out there in the field farming, not in the comfort of your own home or bed, not on the basketball court, not on the volleyball court, not on the football field, not on the hockey rink, but here in church. In his word, in Christ's word preached to you, in holy absolution, in holy baptism, in holy communion, here in church, you will find Jesus given for you and for your salvation. Here, the search for Jesus, for God's love, for peace, for hope, for Christmas, for the meaning of life, for strength, for purpose, for joy. Here, that search ends. Here is a place to lay your head, to rest, to be safe, to have what Christ was denied, so that you would be rich in him. Here in the liturgy, this very night, the holy child of Bethlehem is present and forgives you. Here, tonight, he feeds you. Here, tonight, he gives you his life. Let our mouths then and our hearts receive him eagerly, just as Mary's arms did that first Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas. Amen.